Let's pray and we'll get into the study. Father, thank you for this evening and thank you for your grace to us. We thank you for how you work through us and the ministry that you do in our city and in our families and our friend groups at work, here in our church. We rely on you and continue to rely on you daily. We're here relying on you, Lord. We take this break from our week to dedicate to you, to rely on you. We want to find rest in you this evening. We want to find hope and joy in your presence. We want to learn from you. We want to be encouraged, strengthened, even challenged and convicted as you see fit. We trust you, and we're here to listen to your word and your spirit. We pray for those, for you to speak through both of those in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're on this new topic for the month as of last week, using your gifts to serve the Lord. It's a good topic. It's a five-week month, five-Wednesday month, so we get five of these studies. And throughout the study, you'll hear from different ministry leaders in our church. And I'm hoping that that provides a handful of different experiences in ministry and biblical perspectives. The Bible teaches a lot on this topic, and so hopefully that provides a handful of different angles that are helpful for us as a church as we're thinking about serving the Lord and we're thinking about what gifts the Lord has given us. Last week, Joe kicked us off on the study, and his approach to this topic was regarding being available to the Lord. And I thought that that topic choice was perfect. Like, if you had to start anywhere on this topic of how to use your gifts to serve the Lord, that's where to start. So if you're going to listen to any of these studies, that's like the one to start with. Be available to the Lord. Just be willing to serve the Lord. Make him a priority in your life. And if you just do that, he'll work out all the details. He'll grow you. He'll get you into the right place and time. Just be available for him and he'll use you. I think a lot of times we put ourselves on the bench, so to speak, to use a sports metaphor. We pull ourselves out of the game for a variety of reasons. So I thought that was the perfect way to start. And today we're building on that a little bit by investigating ways that we pull ourselves out of serving the Lord, and just in general, getting familiar with the terms of serving the Lord and gifts of the Lord. So these are our three questions that we're asking, four questions. Counting is hard. Four questions that we're asking today. First is, our topic is how to grow as a servant. And the four questions are, what does it mean to serve the Lord? What are our gifts? What are common objections to growing as a servant? And then what steps can we take to grow in ministry? So there's some good content here. We'll run through this. I have a ton of verses, so I didn't even bother to put the actual verses on the screen because it would take too long. So I'm just going to quote bits and pieces from them, but I have the references on the screen, so you know where everything's coming from. Feel free to take pictures or ask for this after service and like read through these actual scriptures yourself. I'll actually be quoting from them here and there, but just pulling excerpts. But it'll show you where all the content's coming from, just because there's so many verses that have to support this content. So starting with, what does it mean to serve the Lord? And the concept, this is a little bit of a review of what we talked about last month and what we generally teach, is that we serve the Lord with our whole life. We don't segment out certain things as serving the Lord and other things as not. It's not like you serve the Lord at church or when you're at the outreach on Saturday mornings, and then you don't serve the Lord at work or at home or anywhere else. It's that your whole life, the only things you should be doing are things that are in service and worship to the Lord. And so your time serving your family and working your job and being in the community and going to church and serving in ministry, all of those things together should be a form of serving the Lord. So these verses, Romans 12 talks about your body being a living sacrifice. Colossians 3 talks about doing everything unto the Lord, not to please men or to impress other people. 1 Corinthians 10 talks about whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. So we think about this holistically. You need to understand that first. But then the next question, sub-question here is, why me? Like, why do I have to serve the Lord, why should I serve the Lord? And the answer to that is the Great Commission. And so the Great Commission, as you would recognize from Matthew 28, is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Spirit. That means go and evangelize, reach the lost. And then it says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. That means discipling or mentoring people in the faith. So every Christian, every disciple of Christ, follower of Christ, is called to evangelize the lost and disciple Christians who are younger in their faith to you, every single Christian. And so if you're a Christian, you should be thinking, my life is, that is my life calling. That is why I'm on this earth, to serve the Lord. In all these different contexts that the Lord put in my life, but my purpose here is to serve the Lord. This sounds basic because it should be basic, because this is like step two of the gospel. Step one is trust in Jesus. Step two is what does following him look like? It looks like the Great Commission. But I don't think all Christians think this way, that my purpose is to serve the Lord. And so we need to cover that, and we need to get that first. That second passage there, Acts 1:8, is where Jesus initiates the church in Acts. And he says something very similar to the Great Commission, but instead of to his disciples, he's saying it, I mean, it's still to his disciples, but he's saying it in the context of the church that's about to receive the Holy Spirit. And in that verse, he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to all of the earth. Meaning his Great Commission that he gave in Matthew 28 is meant to be done through the context of the local church. So we cannot divorce ourselves from serving in the church either. Like, you see how hold both those things together, that your whole life should be serving the Lord, and it should include or be funneled through the context of the local church. The church is here to equip you and to be a place where you actually serve through. Both those things are true. So why you, if you're a Christian, this applies to you, and why in the church? Because that's what Christ chose for us to use. Now, why is the church so important itself? Hebrews 10, we just covered this Sunday, but it talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as some do, but come together to love each other and serve each other and encourage one another. And 1 Peter 4 talks about being forgiving toward one another and hospitable toward one another. And you've been given a gift so that you can minister it to one another. So if you go to the next slide, I broke down the kind of like 3 points of why the church is so important. First one is we need to love one another. We are called by the Lord many, many, many times over in the New Testament to have a specific, special love for one another in the church. Now, we're called to love our neighbor as ourself, love the whole world, but we're specifically called to have a special love for each other. So we're called to minister to one another in the church. Like, we're responsible to minister to the other Christians in this room. And if we're not here doing that and not a part of that, then we're missing out on something that we're responsible to do. We're called to sacrifice as Christ sacrificed for us. The second point there is that we need a safe place to practice serving the Lord at. When we go out into the world, it's harsh. We're going to be attacked. We're going to be tempted. We're going to be rejected. We're going to be put in situations that are difficult. There's a lack of forgiveness all around. But here in the church, we can work on things, work on learning how to serve the Lord, and we can fail, and your brothers and sisters here will pick you back up, will protect you, will forgive you. and likewise you should be doing to your other brothers and sisters who fail you in the church. Protect them, forgive them, pick them back up. That's what this is about. And so we get to actually, like, through church ministry, you learn how to do ministry all the way around in every aspect of life. This is like the practice ground. And then number three, we're actually gifted for this purpose. Remember I said that Jesus calls us to a unique love? When he gifts us with abilities, we'll get into that, but when he gifts us with things, with abilities, that's for the use in the church context to equip other Christians, to support and strengthen other Christians. If we're not using our gifts in the context of the church, we're not using our gifts in the way that they were meant to be used. So again, our whole life is this ministry, but the church is a really important aspect of where and how we use the gift. So that's what it means to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with your whole life, and particularly in the context of the church. Now, what are gifts? What do we mean when we say gifts? I thought that an easier way to think about this, even though it's not like explicitly stated like this in Scripture, an easier way to think about gifts is as resources. Gifts are just whatever resource God has given you to use. So here's five examples of resources. There's spiritual gifts, emotional, personality gifts, physical gifts, provision, or like the possessions that you have, and like money, and your time. Those are all just examples of things God has given you to use. So when we think about gifts, we typically think about spiritual gifts. And so these verses that are listed there talk about our spiritual gifts, that 1 Peter 4 talks about receiving a gift and using it to minister to one another, as we were just talking about. Romans 12 says that we're all going to get different gifts, and it lists them out. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about how even though we have different gifts, we're all unified under the same Spirit, and it's for all of our benefit. And if you want to dig into that even more, I put that QR code at the bottom, and we have a guide on this topic, on what are the spiritual gifts. And so if you click into that, it'll take you to the sheet that shows you what spiritual gifts actually are, because we're not studying that today, and that's a really big topic, but you can look into that. But God gives us spiritual gifts that come when we get the Holy Spirit, and they're of spiritual nature, so like prophecy or the gift of ministry or teaching or encouragement or giving or leading or pastoring or mercy, prophecy, did I already say that? Tongues, interpretation of tongues, each of these are like gifts of the Spirit that we could have. Second is emotional or personality gifts. This is like how God uniquely wired you to think, and you know, some of this, like some of your personality, you know, it's the nature versus nurture debate. Some of it could be like part of your flesh or bad things, but some of it is like unique to you and what you're like good at and how you think and how you handle situations and your emotional empathy and just how your brain's wired and your emotions are wired. God's formed you uniquely. That's what Psalm 39 is talking about, formed you uniquely. And Exodus 31 talks about filling people with the Spirit in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in different manners of working. And so God brings this wisdom and knowledge and emotional complexity up in us and like prepares us. The third one, physical gifts, that's like our strength or our health or our skills or like just the things that we can do in life physically. And you know, if our bodies are a living sacrifice, we're going to use all of our physical gifts physically to serve the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6 says that we're not our own, but we're glorifying God with our body and our spirit. Ecclesiastes 9 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And so we're using our body to serve the Lord. 4 is provision or possessions or money or resources or influence even. 2 Corinthians 9 talks about being thankful with all that we have and giving with what we have, honoring God with our possessions in Proverbs 3. And then Luke 16 is whoever's faithful with little, God will give much to. So with whatever you have from the Lord, be faithful with that. And then the final one is our time, where Ephesians 5 talks about walking thoughtfully being wise with your time because we don't have very much of it. And Psalm 90 talks about numbering our days that we may gain the heart of wisdom. So all these are things, are gifts that God has given you, or resources that God has given you to use for Him in the context of the ministry that we just talked about before. Okay, so third question. What are common objections? These are things that we hear all the time about reasons why people aren't actively serving the Lord or actively using their gifts to serve the Lord. The first common objection is, I don't know what to do. I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know how to serve. I don't know where to serve. I don't know what I should be doing. This is like comes from like a fear of inadequacy or a lack of direction, like not understanding how to discern God's will, or not feeling like there's a way to determine what I should be spending my time on, or just overwhelmed with the possibilities maybe, or just not like making a decision. An example of this in scripture, I think, is the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, when we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but this one of the servants buried their talent instead of investing it on behalf of the master. And when they did that, they were just fearful of losing what the master had given them. And so they just buried it. And the master said that that was the complete wrong option, that you should have done something with the talent that God has given you. And that's what we're doing when we feel like, I don't know where to serve. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. We're just taking the gifts that God has given us, and we're just burying it. We're not doing anything with it. It would have been better if we tried something, even if it was the wrong thing, if we just tried something, tried to invest the gift God has given us, but instead, you know, we did nothing with it. The second example is, I can't do it. That's where you feel underqualified, or you feel overwhelmed, or you feel like it's too much, or you feel like you're just not skilled. You feel like you're not gifted in something, and so you're just, you block yourself off from serving. You're like, I can't do that, so I'm unwilling to do that, is kind of the approach. This is why I said Joe's study is really important from last week. The example I give is Moses in Exodus 4, where God tells him to go to Pharaoh, and he's like, yeah, I can't talk good, God, so sorry. And you never want to be in that position of saying no to the Lord. If the Lord says you can do it, then He's going to empower you to do it. Or if He puts you in the position, your only job is to do the best you can with what He's given you. That's it. And so the right move for Moses would have been like, yes, Lord, let me go stumble over my words in front of Pharaoh. But instead, he did this whole dance with God about refusing God, and then God had to get Aaron as his mouthpiece, and God had to basically pivot his plan to make this work with Moses's refusal. And now God can make anything work. So He does make it work, obviously. He saved everybody in Egypt. He can make it work without you and without your gifts. But He doesn't want to make it work without you and without your gifts. He wants to use you. And so don't say no to the Lord just because you feel like you can't do it. Just say yes. And at some point, likely He'll move you off the thing you're not good at and move you to something you're better at. But if He puts something in front of you that needs to get done and you're unsure about it, just be faithful and do it until He moves you off of it. A third objection is, I don't want to do it. This is just a stubbornness and just refusing. Good examples of this would be Jonah, who fled in the opposite direction because he didn't want the people to get saved, because he didn't like them. They were his enemies. Another good example is the older brother in the study of the prodigal son, where the prodigal son returns. And it's like, older brother, come celebrate with us. And he's like, I refuse, because I've been here working hard and the brother hasn't been here. And that's our heart sometimes. We're like, yeah, that's not me. I don't do that kind of thing. That's not what I like to do. I'm not interested in serving in that way at all. And we just run the other direction of whatever the Lord's put in front of us. We get some sort of a pride in us that's like, yeah, I don't do that kind of a thing. That should never be in our heart. We should be willing to do anything for the Lord. Any type of service for the Lord should be the same to us. It's serving the Lord. Fourth one is, I don't care about doing it. This is like apathy or spiritual indifference. Like, I don't care. Like, not, I don't want to do it, just whatever. Like, who cares? You know, like a teenager's attitude, right? Right, guys? It's like, I don't care. I'm just kidding. I can only speak that harshly down the age group. I can't. The Bible tells me I have to respect my elders as my mothers and brothers. So I don't care about doing it. This is the Laodicean church in Revelation 3, where they're neither hot or cold. They just say, I'm rich. I've become wealthy. I don't need anything. I'm good. You know, we're good as is. I don't really care about doing anything else. And this is a really toxic place to be. It's underrated how toxic apathy is, I think. And there's so much of that in the church today. We talked about it when we went through our study in Revelation. The fifth one is, I'm already doing enough. I'm already working hard enough. I'm already doing everything that I can for the Lord. This is like a self-righteousness or a form of complacency or a form of pride that's like, I'm confident in what I'm doing for the Lord. Two examples of this would be the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, where he said, I've kept everything from my youth, Lord. I've lived perfectly, Lord. I'm good to go. Let's go to the kingdom. What else do I need to do? And that's when the Lord goes, he asks for the thing that you don't want to give up at that point. He asked the rich young ruler to sell everything that he had to follow him, and the rich young ruler went away sorrowful. That's the point when we're like, no, Lord, I'm already serving you. I don't need to do anything else. That's the point where the Lord will ask us for what we really don't want to give up to him. We don't want to be in that position. Like, you don't want to be in the position where you're telling the Lord, like, I'm good. I don't need to do anything more. Like, every point, and it's not that when you're serving the Lord, you always need to do more. That's not it. It's not that you should always feel guilty. That's not it. It's that you should always be growing in the Lord and bringing it, like, your life should be new life walking in front of you and following the Spirit and growing and thriving and changing with the Lord. And so at any point in ministry, you should be thinking about growth in that ministry. There's no single thing in ministry where I think, oh, I've nailed that, or like, I'm really good at that, or I've mastered that and I can move on from that. Every single aspect of ministry, like down to cleaning the church, I feel like there's a way to do this better, or there's a way that I can grow and I can be more faithful in this and I can serve the Lord even more. And that's not me saying I need to do more for the Lord. That's not me feeling guilty or anything. That's just me like wanting to, like, enjoying serving and growing in the Lord. So we're never doing enough. We don't have to feel guilty about it either. We can always be looking to what the Lord wants to, how the Lord wants to grow us and develop our ministry. So all these objections, I think, are fair objections to make or think or ask questions about, but none of those objections should stop us from serving the Lord. And as you can see, serving the Lord requires some amount of initiative. When Jesus called his disciples originally in Matthew 4, that I listed up there at the top, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And that's it. They immediately dropped their nets and followed him with no other information that we can tell from Scripture. He didn't explain to them the whole kingdom of God and all of the teachings of the gospel and all of what they could do through him. He just said, follow me. And they just were like, yep, let me give up my whole life, everything I've ever worked for, with all the questions in my mind about where from here, and just follow you. So when the Lord calls us to something, or when something's in front of us, we don't need everything figured out. We can have some amount of these doubts in our head, but drop it and follow him anyways. He'll answer it eventually. Just drop it and follow him. Don't let your questions or your doubts stop you from dropping the net and going with Jesus. Final question, question four. What steps can we take to grow in ministry? We've covered these in the past, so I'm not going to go into too much detail on the verses. We've had another study on these, so happy to point that you to where that is on the website. But I just wanted to go through these points again because I felt like they're very practical. Like, what do I do now to serve the Lord? So this is like good advice for growing in ministry. First is allocate time and resources as faithful stewards. Don't just put serving the Lord as the last thing on your list, but set time aside in your life to serve the Lord directly and to serve the Lord in ministry in church. Second is seek out close relationships with church mentors and leaders. I don't know how you grow as, I don't know what the plan is to grow as a Christian and in serving in ministry if you try to do it alone by yourself on your own. The whole New Testament is built around growing in the context of church and the other believers around you. And this is like the way that it's set up and designed to be. 2 Timothy 2 there says that Paul's committing these things to Timothy, and Timothy will commit these things to other faithful men who will then commit these things, these teachings to other faithful men, and it'll continue one person teaching another person in the church. And Titus 2 talks all about men and women mentoring in the church. And so find mentors in the church. 3, find and fill the biggest need first. If you don't know where to start, just find the biggest need that the church has or in other aspects of your life that there is and fill that need. Even if you're not the most gifted at it or you're not the best person for it, find it, fill it, and either God will gift you for it. All of a sudden, you'll have the gift and the ability to do that thing, or he'll raise up somebody else to take your place, and then you can move on to the next biggest thing. But find the biggest need that you can possibly fill, that you have some level of ability to try, and just fill that need. Just jump in. 4 is be consistent and reliable with long suffering. Ministry is always going to be hard. Serving the Lord is always going to be hard. There's always going to be setbacks. There's always going to be reasons why you shouldn't do it, or you can't do it, or you should back out of it. But really, like, you can't just start serving and then give up. You're not going to be able to grow or build anything or accomplish anything. If Moses like gave up after the first plague, Israel would still be in Egypt right now. But he went 10 times back to Pharaoh. And there's a certain amount of perseverance and just long suffering, and people are going to be hard to work with, and things are going to go wrong, and you're going to fail, and you're going to feel like you're not enough, and who knows? You're going to feel like you don't have enough time. But if you stay consistent and reliable, and you're long suffering with people, and you just stay at it, the Lord will do something there, or move you to something else. But he'll do some sort of fruit. And then 5. Maximize support and minimize division. We're called to approach ministry humble with a learning mindset. Proverbs 9 says, give instruction to a wise man and he'll be wiser. Teach a just man and he'll increase in learning. The other side of that is that if you give instruction to a fool, they'll reject that instruction. So approach ministry like always learning, no matter how long you've been in ministry, but approach it as humble, always learning, always growing. And then also know the difference between being critical with others versus being constructive with them. That you want to be building bridges with other people, not building walls in between you and other people. People are going to come at you and attack you, and they're going to offend you, and they're going to say the wrong thing, and they're going to throw stones at you. And your job is just take that and then build a bridge to them. Find common ground. Work on growing closer together. Forgive them. That's your job. And that really helps ministry. So if you do these 5 things, you're pretty much like you're on the right track. These are just 5 practical steps. All right. That's kind of the overview of this study. If you want to bring back the main questions, we talked about what it means to serve the Lord. We talked about what our gifts are. We talked about common objections to those gifts, and we talked about some practical steps to growing in the Lord. Let's discuss. What questions came up? What rang true in your head? Yeah.
You talk about serving the Lord. Well, how would I break the ice with people in different stores and stuff, like passing out flyers or inviting them to church? How would I be able to break the,
initiate a conversation for witnessing? Yeah. So this is a good example. It's really hard in 2 seconds that we have here for me to give you every direction that's possible for how to approach that. What would really help you is go out with Joe and the gang on Saturdays at the Delta Market and practice those. Watch how they do that. Get some materials from Joe that he has on witnessing that'll teach through that. Watch how they're reaching people, and then you start doing it, and you practice it, and you do it with them, and you get their encouragement. They'll give you tips. They'll work with you on it. And then after doing that a couple times with them, then you'll feel like, oh, I know exactly what to do in the supermarket. Doing that in the context of the church is super easy and helpful. Just trying to figure it out on your own, super hard and intimidating, So that's a perfect example of, get with the team here and get their resources, get their advice, and then practice it with them.
Yeah. Where I'm at, my life should be totally built around the church.
Yeah. Yeah. Any Christian. Yeah. Any Christian. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll get lots of practice out there. One thing I like to do when we're out there at the outreach is I'll notice hats or shirts or something and comment on something. Wow, that shirt, it has something it says on it.
Yeah.
And right away they start talking. They want to explain. People love to talk about themselves.
My mother.
That's a good way to break the ice.
Yeah.
Yep. And another thing is you'll see that each of our ministers out there have a different approach, and you'll be able to learn from each of their approaches and take what works for you and your personality and kind of make it your own. And you'll have your own version of a combo of the things that you've picked up from all of our servants. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, well, I kind of two-part. I wanted to share something for him, and then I have a question for you.
Sure.
So something that I've always found to be really fun, and it's, I think it just kind of came from, I just had one day where I just asked the Lord what was on his heart, and he just told me, and I just acted in faith. I had no clue what was going on. He told me to go talk to some guy all the way across town. So I was supposed to believe that God told me that there was a homeless guy sitting on a park bench,
right,
at the waterfront in downtown Eureka.
Uh-huh.
And I'm in my house. Okay, so I went. And what happened? There's a guy right from the same bench that I pictured. So I went and I talked to him. And he was kind of floored. Because he's like, why are you talking to me?
Uh-huh.
Well, because you're a human being, God wanted me to, talk to you, and you deserve being talked to. Because this guy, I can tell, he felt so worthless. Why does anyone want to talk to me? And once I mentioned God, he started crying, and then I found out that guy was going to kill himself that day. And to me, that's the Lord's heart. He didn't want that guy to kill himself, so he sent somebody who was willing to go and preach the gospel or to rekindle his heart. And he used to be a Christian and all that stuff. And I mean, God obviously gets all the glory there. So I just think that for me, and this is probably when I was a lot more immature. But it's wow, obeying God doesn't benefit me all the time.
Yes.
It benefits other people, and it could make a lasting impact. And so, but that also rewarded me at the same time, because I'm like, wow, that was cool. God used me in that miraculous way. And the other cool part, I kind of felt like this was like a little Jehovah sneaky or something like that. but it was March 16th, and that's 3:16. John 3:16.
Right.
That's lovable, you know? It's like, that was like the message God wanted to bring that day.
Uh-huh.
It's a good story. What was your question?
So my question was, when it comes to like spending time with the Lord, like learning to allocate different things, I often struggle with that sometimes because I'm like, I got a whole bunch of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know I pray all the time. So I pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working, I'm talking to God. I'm doing this, I'm talking to God. But I'm not always getting that specific intentional time with the Lord. And I feel guilty sometimes. But then there's also times like today, like I didn't get any sleep. So I decided to not go to work. My uncle let me stay home and study for school and stuff like that. So that was a blessing. But I could barely even study because my brain was just, you know, out of it. And then once my girlfriend got off work, I wanted to talk to her, and then I didn't want to talk to her because I was just like, you know, I just needed to chill. I'm like,
okay,
tired.
Yeah, you're
but
tired.
I did anyways, and that was obviously enjoyable. And then church was tonight, and I was like, man, I'm like wrestling with that because I'm tired, and I don't know if I'm extroverted or introverted.
Okay.
You know, so I'm like, which one am I today, you know? Like, do I have the energy? And of course I go anyways because, you know, it's church is good.
Okay.
And then it's like going home. On the way, it's like I just feel this prick that really bothered me. Like, hey, instead of going and talking to your girlfriend afterwards, like, spend time with me. Like,
yeah.
Man, my brain is like...
Yeah, we shouldn't... You don't have to go, like, back and forth with condemning yourself for and second-guessing yourself for every decision that you make. You just need to allocate time to the Lord. And there's no quota on that on purpose. So just make sure you, and I don't think of just solo prayer time to be the only thing that counts as allocated time to the Lord. Like, everything that we do is part, if we're doing it as unto the Lord, is part of our relationship with the Lord.
Okay.
We're a living sacrifice. All of it is part of our relationship with the Lord. Some of that should be private prayer time because we're called to private prayer time. Some of it should be studying the Lord, the Word of God, because we're called to read the Word of God, etc. But there's no quota. So don't worry about guilt feeling. Just worry about doing all of it, you know, and fitting it in when there's time. Yeah. Other thoughts and questions? Yeah.
Yeah, where sometimes I don't want to do what God wants me to do. And I have to pray, Lord, make me willing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who taught me that years ago. But you know, he always does. You know,
yeah.
It really works. And my prayer always ends with, your will be done, not mine.
Good.
Although I want to keep my own flesh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great prayer.
So, I've learned a lot of times that someone I know the Lord wants me to witness to, and no, he's not going to even be interested in that. And then that's where I want to go right to that person. And they always accept it.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, it goes back to that stuff that Joe was talking about last week of availability, willingness, and in general what we've been talking about today is you just got to take initiative and jump in and serve the Lord. Don't wait. Don't use the objections that we went over. Just go for it. If you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, God will let you know and he'll move you. I mean, don't sin, obviously, but like, you know, serve the Lord where you see an opportunity to serve the Lord. Yeah.
And I'm trying to find a better way to pay a better tithe, because it's hard for me to get money to pay a tithe, and I believe that I should pay a tithe, you know?
Yeah, we're all called to give to the Lord. The amount is not determined in Scripture. So, for instance, the word tithe references the Old Testament giving 10% of our income to the Lord, which is a good rule of thumb, but there's the New Testament doesn't tell us give 10%. It says give willingly and generously to the Lord. And so you can see in stories in the New Testament and in the Gospels where someone will give a ton of money because they're rich and into the temple to God. And then there's a poor woman who just gives like 2 pennies, basically, and or with inflation. I used to say 2 pennies. It's probably $2 now, but with inflation. But she gives $2, and the Lord said that's worth more than what the other person gave. And so give what you can, but the Lord also calls you to provide for your family. And if you don't have like a wife and kids, that your family would be yourself. And to pay your bills and to fulfill all your responsibilities. So don't give more than what you need to fulfill all of your responsibilities. But then as you're fulfilling your responsibilities, because that's what you're called to do as the Lord, also give generously as well. And so only you and the Lord can figure out exactly what that is. And if you get mentors in Christ, you can spitball ideas with a mentor, and they can give you some specific advice. But those are like the general guidelines that the New Testament has given. Yeah, so we should give generously, but not at the expense of the responsibilities that we have that the Lord has given us.
Yeah, I walked by some businesses, and mm-hmm. they said mentor, but I noticed that the business wasn't even a business, it was just a store that had a
uh-huh. When I say mentor, I mean in the context of the local church. Yeah, not just like a random, yeah, right. Not a non-Christian. I'm talking about a Christian in the church who's mature, serving, growing in their faith. We have a ton of them here, so pick some amount of them and learn from them. Serve with them. Yeah.
I think, too, that tithing is not necessarily financial.
Well, there, yeah, any of our...
giving whatever you have, your time,
yeah,
your ability.
All of our resources, right. But the New Testament does specifically call out finances. But, yeah, it should be... I mean, your whole life should be a living sacrifice. Everything, all of your resources, all of your gifts. If you pull up that gifts page, you know, finances was on there, but so was spiritual gifts and emotional gifts and physical gifts and your time. So any of those things you should be giving to the Lord. And the New Testament talks about giving to the church directly, and it talks about giving to, like, the poor directly, yeah, and those in need.
Because a couple of times I was waiting for church in the morning, and there was a homeless lady with all clean blankets, all her stuff was clean, so I gave her a couple dollars because it was hot in the morning, mm-hmm, for her to get something to drink, because she was a hard worker.
That's
she
nice.
Went out to party in her.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, just give as the Lord calls you and directs you to give.
Yeah.
Yes, David.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about Jeremy too. It's like I'm kind of introverted, so just starting a conversation with anybody is a challenge for me.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, it's like, how would I even start any conversation? But one of the things I'm thinking of, try to be more observant. I'm visually impaired, so it's a little hard, and I don't automatically look at people, but
yeah. Yeah, so you're just being faithful with what God has given you, not with what God hasn't given you. So God has given you the amount of vision that you have, and so with that amount of vision, what can you do? And be faithful with that. And then as far as, like, this is a good example. So many of us probably feel like it'd be awkward to go up and talk to somebody. But if someone had a gun to your loved one's head and said, you have to go up and talk to some random stranger at the store or else your loved one gets it, you would totally do it. You'd totally go up and talk to somebody at a store. The distance of that uncomfortable situation is just like it's not something that's not overcomable, That's not a word, but you get what I'm saying. It's not insurmountable. There's a word. It's just kind of like in your, it's your own, your own self barrier. And so, not everybody needs to witness by talking to people at the grocery store. There's a million ways to witness. So you can witness in ways that you're more gifted at than that. But also you should never be in a position where you're saying, oh, I would never do that. Because that's where you're going into the objection piece where, what if the Lord wanted you to do that? You should be willing to do that, but you should be optimizing for what gifts that God has actually given you. So if you're great at talking to people in the grocery store, do it. If you're great in a different context, focus on that context. Just don't be closed off where you're refusing to do a certain set of things. Just be open to the Lord, but then focus on what you're actually gifted to do.
Yeah, so one of the guys at the church years ago was talking about posting scriptures, and that's what I started doing. I would post scriptures,
yeah,
text messages on social media.
Yeah, and so you're probably like more gifted at that than a lot of us in this room. And so you spending time on that is really meaningful and valuable and not something that everybody in this room could accomplish. And then some members of this room might be better at like going up and talking to a stranger, and so they spend more time doing that. And together as the body of Christ, we're accomplishing all forms of witnessing.
Yeah, when we go out to the flea market, I want to be open to talking to people more if the Lord wants me to, but I'll draw and yell this conversation, I'll just be sitting and praying.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm just going to mention that about him.
Yeah, but one thing we can't do, you can't say as a Christian, is, oh, I'm just not good at witnessing, therefore I won't, in general. That's not an option. We're all called to witness. So the question is, in what way are we going to do it? Not if we're going to do it or not. There's a big distinction there. And then also, again, don't close yourself off to any particular method. Be open to whatever the Lord calls you to, but focus on what you're gifted at.
Yeah, it's like Brian was 2 years ago asking you to not just be a assistant teacher, but actually teach in a school. And just sort of thought something. I don't know if I want to do that, but I'm not going to do Moses, so I did it. I said, okay.
Nice. Nice. You had a question?
Yeah. Also, too, I was curious. So,
is?
Oh, nice.
I had some smart people over here shaking their heads at me for saying that.
Well, it might be like ginormous. Something that's very recent.
Question three, step number two, the objectives or objections.
Yes. Let me pull up the objections.
Number two. It says, I can't do that.
Yeah.
One of my father's pet peeves, and he just drilled it into me when I was little, and that still sticks with me and really helps a lot, is he always told me can't means won't.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I agree.
He said, there's no such thing as can't. If you're saying you can't, it means you won't.
Like,
which,
practically speaking, there's very few things you absolutely could do to some degree. So if something gets put in front of you that needs to happen, just do the best you can with what God's given you to accomplish it. Don't just say no. Just do. You're not going to be able to do everything, maybe, but just do the best you can with what God's given you. And he'll either empower you to do it, or he'll replace you with someone else who he's empowered to do it. One of the two, either way is good. That's fruit from your labor. But you do not want to be in the position where you say no to the Lord.
Well, I think we have this idea that the minute we do something, it's going to be that, we're going to know that's exactly what God, like the big story that we just got, God's not going to send you to go save someone from killing themselves every time you ask him what he wants you to do. Sometimes just doing obedience in the sense of serving your husband that is an act of service.
Yeah.
Whatever season you're in, don't make yourself feel guilty. I mean, I want to just say that, if you're convicted because you're doing nothing, then that's between you and the Lord, and come alongside someone else that's already doing a lot, or looks like they're doing a lot, may not be doing a lot. But anyway, so, but I'm just saying is that, you know, talk to someone. We've got women's ministry, men's ministry, show up and just say, hey, I got a question about this, and or, you know, because that's how we start dialoguing. We're here after church. Talk to us. You know, all these questions are great. Sometimes we don't have the time for it here, but we have people that will sit with you. I have no problem sitting with somebody and listening. And then once you get to know somebody a little bit better, then you can kind of prod them along in what looks like they might be good at.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, Logan, can you go to question four? This practical list here, I'm telling you, if you just do all the things on this list, you'll be serving the Lord. There's not a way to avoid it. But a lot of what you were just saying is here. The first thing you said is number four, be consistent and reliable. And then the second thing you were saying is number two on there, which is build a close relationship with a church leader, mentor.
Sometimes people really need to hear, and maybe not in this room, but where do, you know, okay, I show up at church, but sometimes just sitting there doesn't mean someone's going to walk up to you and know everything you're going to say or what you need.
Yeah, engage, yeah.
So you need to engage, too, and I mean, that's why I try to, I mean, you know me, I'm
like,
everybody.
For someone who isn't currently serving, if you just showed up to church and just actively looked and asked for things to do, like looked for things that need to get done and asked people, like, what can I help with? And you just did that every single Sunday and every single Wednesday and every chance that you got, you would like immediately be brought into something and be a part of a ministry and be discipled, and the Lord would do something with that. That's how easy it is. But you have to actually like go do it. And it's like, a lot of times people wait until someone like drags them into ministry or tricks them into ministry, which the Lord works doing that way, but it's not the ideal. The ideal would be you proactively say, I'm going to go serve the Lord.
A lot of the focus of the conversation, and it's not, it is a priority, it is in terms of outreach, but I think two, there's that admonishment to encourage one another and build each other up,
yes,
which we need to do in order to be
exactly
gifted to outreach. And you know, taking care of needs, listening to one another,
huge.
Loving one another is what we do. And so no guilt, no guilt allowed. Just go do something.
Yeah. Yeah, I
don't spend time and energy on guilt. We don't serve a God who punishes and induces guilt. We serve a God who admonishes and encourages us, forgives us, lifts us up to do the next thing in front of us. So ditch the guilt.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, as far as the outreach thing, there is no percentage on it, but just as a help. The Lord told us to do two things: go evangelize and go minister to the church. And so you should be doing both those things. You should be evangelizing to non-believers and you should be ministering to the church, to believers. And then, yeah, in general, we're not walking in guilt that don't second guess what you're doing and like feel bad about what you're doing. That'll just capture you. That's not helpful. Just keep running at the Lord though. Also don't feel like you're fine and feel like you don't need to grow anymore and feel like you're doing everything you could ever possibly do and you're like the best Christian in the world. Also don't think that. Act humbly, follow the Lord. Humbly serve the Lord. There's no guilt in that, but also there's no pride in that. Just humbly serving and following the Lord. Yeah.
We should be careful with, there's no such thing as can't. I grew up with that. The thing is, we can find ourselves putting heavy loads on people's backs that God didn't call them to do.
No, so legalism would be where we're placing things on people that God didn't call them to do. That's like a legalistic approach. The can't, there's no such thing as can't. I wouldn't say that. I would say don't approach the situations that God puts in your life in the form of I can't. Approach it in the form of I will do the best with what I've been given. There's some things you can't do. You cannot lift a car. Okay? You're just not going to be able to lift a car unless you're that one in a million opportunity where God gives you superhuman strength and he makes you lift the car. That's possible, but that's mostly not going to happen. Just do what you can with what you have in any given situation. And don't say can't, just say, I'm going to do what I can with what God has given me.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to his will.
According to his will, yeah.
That doesn't mean I will do all things through Christ.
Right.
That's the wrong kind of will.
Okay. Let's pray, and we'll close in a quick song, and then feel free to chat with me after. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of scripture and for your spirit that empowers us and moves in us. Thank you that you've called us to serve you and you've empowered us to do so. Please help us follow you with willingness and availability and with all of the initiative that we talked about today. We praise you with our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.